This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. I've got a special episode this time around, as this is episode number 666, Number of the Beast. Well, you know, it's in the Book of Revelation. I suppose we can play around with it a little bit. And I can welcome a special guest, Andy Weston, better known as Andrew P. Weston on book covers and such. Now, Andy's going to be reading from his latest hellish masterpiece, Call of the Cambion, and you might know Andy from his book and series The Ninth, which features the Lost Legion, or from his contributions to the Heroes in Hell series. So, he's quite well established in the world of the diabolical, fictionally diabolical, let's say. It's Andrew P. Weston, and he's going to be reading from his new series, The Cambion Journals. The Cambion is a half-demon, half-human hybrid, which seemed so appropriate for episode 666 of Glow in the Dark Radio. So we'll hear from Andy coming up from Call of the Cambion. I want to thank my patrons for supporting the podcast, and I want to thank you for indulging me in letting another writer take over for a week here, because I think this is cool. I think this is worth doing, and Andy has actually written some great reviews of my books on Amazon. Speaking of writing, I'm not the best at writing reviews, so I have to thank Andy big time for doing that for me. Very cool, and he writes awesome reviews, so it's nice to be able to feature his work on this episode, 666. Plus, you'll hear he's got a cool accent. And I want to also feature or just mention a couple other people that are writers in this kind of genre, more of the horror genre. And that would be Dirk Manning, who's a great comic book writer. He does horror comics like Nightmare World and Tales of Mystery. So if you're interested in contemporary horror, check out Dirk Manning and his work in comics. And I also want to mention my friend Joe Citro. Joe is a Vermont-based writer. He does a lot of stuff as far as like non-fictional things like the Vermont Ghost Guide and Green Mountain Ghosts and Unsolved Mysteries, or Green Mountain Ghost Schools and Unsolved Mysteries. He's got fiction like Shadow Child, his first book, got re-released a couple years ago. The Unseen, more. He's been doing some cool stuff with Robert Waldo Brunel Jr. too, like the Vermont Ghost Experience and Vermont Horror Comics. All of that from Joe Citro. And another mention too of my friend Paul E. Cooley, who of course has done the Derelict Saga, which I think is fine horror science fiction, and I am not necessarily a horror fan. I have not read Paul's other series, The Black, which people rave about. So if you're into horror, check out The Black by Paul E. Cooley. But I can definitely recommend Derelict and the Derelict Saga, because that's just masterful work by Mr. Cooley. And you can find his stuff at shadowpublications.com. And since I'm featuring folks who work in the horror side of things, it makes sense to include them as well. Though none of them really need my help as far as like promotion goes. I was thanking my patrons. If you'd like to become a patron, you can do that by going to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and help support this podcast. I've got $2, $5, and $10 levels. That's once a month. Patreon hits your card up for that and puts it together and sends it my way to help me keep the podcast going. Pay for, you know, the various websites and hosting and all the rest of stuff, because, well, it costs a bit to do podcasting. And thank you again, once again, to my patrons. You can also go to my site, MikeLuoma.com or GlowInTheDarkRadio.com if you want to learn more or get the link to Patreon for the Patreon page. All right, I'm going to let Andy take over. This is Andrew P. Weston, special guest on Glow in the Dark Radio, episode 666.
Hi everyone, this is Andy Weston, author of the Cambion Journals, as released through Raventail Publishing. I'm here on this special episode of Glow in the Dark Radio, episode 666, no less, to share with you a 10 to 11 minute snippet from the second book in my new series, Call of the Cambion, to celebrate the occasion. The series details the exploits of demon hunter Augustus Thorne and his centuries-long quest to rid the world of all evil. So, let's set the scene. As fans of the series will know, Augustus is a Cambion himself, a human-demon hybrid, cursed with a terrible hunger that makes him a menace to society. Thing is, he hates what he is, and is determined to protect society from others like him. But there's a problem. He's only 250 years old himself, you see, a babe, amongst creatures that live for a millennia. So, to better understand what he is and the extent of his power and how it is he can defeat the Demon, he enters the only Cambion sanctuary on Earth, a place that is just as dangerous to him as it is to others. So here we go. A vast chamber lay before me, far larger than I would thought possible, as it exceeded the dimensions of the Pantheon above it. By exerting myself minimally, I could see it was an enormous dome, over 400 yards across and over 200 high. The walls were made of an unknown material that seemed imbued with their own gentle luminescence, a violet and gold combination that made my Cambion nature tingle in expectation. At the centre of the immense hall stood a titanic figure wreathed in purple lightning and illuminated from above by an unknown source in emerald green splendour. I walked toward it, recognizing a demon warrior, fangs bared, his angelically beautiful face split by a wicked grin. Romulus was powerfully muscled, brandishing a huge, double-handed and intricately embellished broadsword above his head, as if caught in the moment of smashing it down on an imaginary foe. This was his sanctuary, a lasting testament to the power of the three bloodlines combined, an unholy splicing of terrible potential. Weapons and relics of mysterious fashion glowed in various hues of green, red, gold, silver and violet, laying about the base, and only hinting at their design, whispering as to the power contained within them. The terrorist field concentrated about the figure radiated away in over 100 different directions, both major and minor, each energy band creating a helix of subtle power that somehow enhanced by the positioning of the giant monument. I remembered the reference to the convergences of esoteric ley lines joining the cities of Congress together. This place was obviously a major hub and was no doubt linked to each of those cities as well as to a huge number of nexus wells at more mundane sites, and I had no doubt that one of these strands would lead to the holy city itself. No wonder the king hadn't dared to destroy this reminder to a Cambion's might, his greatest bane. Somehow, Romulus had anchored his effigy within the heart of the Nexus itself and augmented its resonance. Any interference would disrupt the delicate balance between the energy lines, thereby possibly disrupting the entire network. The king didn't dare touch it. It helped explain why this place was so hard to find as well, and barricaded away behind multiple shield layers. King Asmodai wanted to restrict access to virtually anyone imaginable, except the court's most trusted advisers. Couldn't keep me out, though. Unwanted visions swam into my head of battles fought and won, of foes vanquished and of blood spilt, coated my arms and legs in a thick film of gore that filled my black heart with glee. or watch myself taking the head of yet another victim foolish enough to face me, only to lick the fountains of blood from my cruel blade with a greedy abandonment that was frightening to behold. I tried to clear my mind, and for a moment thought I was under some kind of mental attack. Before I'd even realized it, I'd adopted a combat stance and flipped through the air several times, searching out an attacker. What the hell is going on? And how did I move so fast without conscious thought? I cast my senses around once more, aware of the fact I was becoming incredibly sensitive and perceptive to my surroundings. Subtle energy seemed reactive to my presence, as if I exercised some form of irresistible gravity. Of course, I'm a Cambion, one of the few beings on the planet who can truly blend to and embrace the unique harmonics of this place. Although the court might try to deny access to the masses, wouldn't work with me, their anomaly. This chamber was specific to my very existence. Here, I rule supreme as a... No! This place was dangerous. It had a seductive appeal that insidiously tugged at the fibre of my soul. I was a product of demons. A giant of my... My comprehension swirled again, whirling around me in a maelstrom of depicted realities. I was a king over demons and men, regal and mighty. Everyone cowered in terror, recognizing that with a mere thought I could consign them to death. Wouldn't matter who they were, where they were, or... They were nothing to me. There, a batter plane burned red before me. Its ruddy glow cast back the smoke-blackened pall from horizon to horizon. The slain lay like seeds, scattered to the wind, petrified in the moment of death. Nothing lived. I was the only being capable of existing in such a vista, king of the carnage I had brought to the ruination of all life. And then a voice whispered on the edge of hearing, "This is what you are, who you should be, what you could be. Your heart craves the ruination of all flesh. Revel in the purity of despair and destruction, as you were made to do. No, you are Cambion, more than puny incubus and succubus combined, able to access the very matrix of creation itself. Why content yourself with the mundane when elevated glory belongs to you by birthright? No. Ah, you're a tool then, a paladin on the king's leash. Good boy. Sit, roll over, beg. Now back to your corner to await his summoning." For the first time in over 100 years, I could feel my own fangs extending, protruding past my bottom lip. I wanted to stay here. I wanted to live nearby, lay down roots and become my true self. The feeding would be... No! My thoughts battled one against the other, and if I didn't leave soon, I'd lose myself and become the thing my mother abhorred. A monster. Yes! Be yourself! As much as I wanted, I couldn't move. The longer I was here, the more I felt compelled to stay. I needed distraction. Fast. Tugging the glove from my left hand, I glazed with detachment at the ring adorning my middle finger. Let's see if you actually work. In slow motion, I pulled the void signet away and tucked it safely within the flap of my chest pocket. Then with utter glee, the other side of my nature crooned, come out, wherever you are. Don't be shy. Come and play. I'm beginning to think you don't like me. Almost immediately, I felt one of the strands coiling into the nexus activate, causing a tingling sensation to tickle my mind behind the eyes. I wonder if this is why Fannin's got such a bad attitude. If this happened every time he takes his ring off, it would be enough to send anyone off, especially as he's put up with it for hundreds of years. Pity he never had the balls to enter his pursuers this way. I'm about to do. Within seconds, I was rewarded with the arrival of my distraction, and they hadn't arrived a moment too soon. I was on the verge of submitting to the heady embrace of ultimate power, because this shrine was offering me everything. I stood, waiting, totally relaxed and overflowing with a potential I never dreamed possible. The towers flared, and 8 forged warriors dropped to the floor around the statue. They were fully armoured assassins, each equipped with what looked like arcane short swords and dirks. As soon as they landed, they attacked in a swarm of potent death. Yes, the voice inside purred. Come on, then. I was ablaze with majesty, amused to watch their slow advance, restricted as they were by their limited natures. Their glowing blades sang, harmonising into a chorus of frenzied discontent as they identified my presence and recognised the danger. For the barest fraction of the tiniest moment, part of me felt impressed. They were brave, if nothing else. Then the raging ice in my veins found a target. Standing behind these valiant foemen and women, against the far wall, hundreds of yards away where he thought he would be safe, was the eternal coward, Eblis. He had a sarcastic smile smeared across his face, and his mind reached out to me with effortless ease. Ah, we meet again, Cambion, though I fear the outcome will be very different this time. Smugness oozed out of his every pore. Unfortunately for him, I was in exactly the right mood and place to wipe the smile from his face. Just as my silence reached me, I projected, "Foolish of you to try and take me on my home ground, insect." Within the blink of an eye, I'd phased so swiftly that the forge were taken by surprise and blasted to the floor by the momentum of my passage. Eblis himself had only just realized this was indeed the only Cambion sanctum on the planet. Its significance must have registered. He began to look panicked. Too late. I materialized, my left hand instantly driving into the smooth walls of the temple by his throat, snapping his spine and breaking his pathetic skull. My other hand was already deep within his armored chest. The temple flared in recognition of impending death, infusing me with more power than my flesh could contain. Recognition of his demise showed in Eblis's face. Looking deep into his eyes, I said, "You're right. The outcome is different this time. This time, you don't get to run away." I clenched my fist with a savage jerk, crushing his rancid heart. He tensed once as if experiencing a powerful electric shock, jerked like a puppet, then let a guttural whine before somehow finding the strength to wail at the top of his lungs. A whirlwind seemed to coalesce out of thin air, rushing into the void where his heart had been, tearing at the fabric of his skin and sinew. Within seconds, the current had built into a screaming numb which exploded in my hands into white rage. The blast of his wrath surged through me like nectar, and I opened to it, howling in delight as wave after wave of fury drenched my glands in the purest ambrosia. He was ancient, a sea of twisted malice, an ocean of pure emotion that poured into my already overflowing capacity. I drank his essence whole and was transformed. So passed Eblis the Fair, firstborn of Abar and Hissein. Well, that's it, my friends. That's my contribution to episode 666 of Glow in the Dark Radio. If you want to find out more about Augustus Thorne, what happens next, or indeed what happens in the Cambion journals, head over to Raventail Publishing or look me up on Twitter. Believe it or not, I'm registered under Western Andrew. And all the links to my other stuff you can find there. And of course, thank you to Mike for having me here today. See you all again sometime.
Thank you, Andrew P. Weston. Andy Weston, our special guest on this Glow in the Dark Radio episode 666. Very cool. Reading from his latest, The Call of the Cambion, from the Cambion Journals. We'll get back to the Starseeds of Earth on our next episode. We are getting near the end of that novel, too, so I'm looking forward to bringing that to its conclusion, although some folks say it's a bit of a cliffhanger conclusion, and in some ways it is. And I'm working on the second part, or the follow-up to that cliffhanger, so that's in the works. If you want to support this podcast, you can do so by becoming a patron at Patreon for $2, $5, or $10 a month. Just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com and look for that link to Patreon. My thanks again to Andy Weston for being a very cool special guest on this episode 666 of Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, usually, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation, copyright 2022 by Michael F. Luoma. and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at acompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.